At New Balance, we believe if you run, you're a runner. However you choose to do it. Because when you're not worried about doing things the right way, you're free to discover your way. And that's what running's all about. Run your way at newbalance.com/running.
And welcome back to Well Played, presented by The Skim. I'm Caroline Hendershot.
I'm Blake Morgan. We have a lot to talk about because the Super Bowl, she's set.
She is set, baby.
She's set. I'm set. You also got a new GM.
And head coach.
Yesterday. You had a busy day yesterday.
Oh, yeah, yesterday was a marathon, not a sprint.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it was good. It was like the vibes in the building were...
They were up.
They were very up. And Aaron Glenn, I don't think I have enough positive things to say.
Well, keep it for later because we're going to talk about coaching changes and stuff.
But yeah, all good things. All
Yay.
Good things. Yeah.
So I'm happy for you.
Thank you so much. How was your weekend?
It was a good weekend.
Yeah.
But I want to talk about more is that I'm going to a Hellman's Mayo event tonight.
So Hellman's interesting. Mayo no, event don't do that. Tonight. Don't do that.
Okay.
Ew, mayo.
I know, mayo is like slick too, and that just added to it. I know, well, okay, so I'm actually going to give a scoop that I'm actually not supposed to say, but I'm going to say it anyway.
Oh, insider.
It's not that inside, because everybody knows.
Are you going to eat a spoonful of mayo?
No, maybe if I hit 10K, I would do that. Literally, if you guys get me to 10K, I will eat
live
a spoonful of mayo. On the pod,
yeah.
Okay. You heard it here first. No, so it's not a secret. That much, but they told us not to say anything about it.
Okay.
My friend is like a proper influencer. She has a lot of followers, way more than I do. And she got invited to this Hellman's Mayo event.
Okay.
And everyone was like, you know, they saw whispers of a Meg Ryan, Billy Crystal reunification.
Mm.
Everyone was like, Super Bowl commercial, has to be it.
Yeah.
Well, scoop is, it is. I wasn't supposed to say anything until tomorrow morning, but because I love you so much.
Wow.
I'm giving you the scoop. And so it's at Katz's Deli tonight, actually.
Okay.
Because the commercial, the teasers show it taking place at Katz's Deli.
Got it.
So I will be there. I will be eating a special sandwich of sorts.
Wow.
Watching the commercial with my friend. Who knows? Maybe Meg Ryan and Billy Crystal will be there.
Maybe.
Perhaps. That's what I'm going to be up to tonight.
Okay. That's very exciting. I like that.
Yeah, man. Mayo.
Mayo.
Mm.
I can't think about it too much. It grosses me
I know,
out.
We can move on.
Yeah, okay.
Honestly. But I will say.
It's delicious. I just can't think about it too much.
Yes.
Yeah.
So this is the part of the episode where we normally, you know, plug our socials. But I really want to emphasize that Caroline's Instagram yesterday, she had a beautiful post.
Oh, thank you so much.
She had a beautiful post. Yes. Featuring, of course, her outfit of the day, but more importantly, a little convo with the new head coach of the Jets. And if there was ever a reason for you to follow Caroline on Instagram, you should. And her handle is CG Hendy.
That is so kind of you. You are like the cutest person ever. And okay, wait, I'm going to butcher yours because I can't do yours.
Well, it was not as much about a compliment for you. It was for me to put you on the spot.
Yeah,
so.
To test. Does it start with two or three B's? Or
one
is it one B?
It's always been one B.
Okay.
There's only two letters.
One B. One L. Then it's three A's, four K's.
Absolutely.
And one E.
There you go. I was like, I'm not just black.
Black.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's Blake.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Sorry, I couldn't remember if you started out with a or it was just
black.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyways, shall we?
Let's just get into it.
Okay. As always, we've prepared a roundup of our favorite stories dominating your feeds this week. It's time for Playing the Field. We begin playing the field with the Kansas City Chiefs, who are headed to their third Super Bowl in a row. In case you have been living under a rock this past weekend, the Eagles are headed to the Super Bowl after a dominant performance over the Commanders Sunday afternoon, and they'll take on the Chiefs, who squeaked out a 32-29 victory over the Bills. This is the third time that the Chiefs have made it to the Super Bowl, and the fifth time in 7 years for Patrick Mahomes and company.
Third straight time, we should add.
Yeah.
3 years in a row. Damn.
They're going for the three-peat.
God. Okay, so despite this miraculous performance from Mahomes and his squad, the attention, yet again, was not on the men in red and white. It was on the men in black and white, mm-hmm. actually, aka the referees. Because one play in particular that could have bolstered the Bills' chances of winning went to, you know, went the Chiefs' way, as we have often seen it happen. Mm-hmm. In controversial fashion, of course. So with 13 minutes left in the game and the Bills clinging to a 1-point lead, Josh Allen attempted a QB sneak on fourth down and appeared to reach the line to gain. However, it wasn't that clear to the refs. What did we see?
So despite one of the two line judges appearing to give a favorable spot to the Bills, the play was eventually called a turnover on downs. But the plot thickens. The call was so close that it went to instant replay review. And despite what many of us saw, the call still went in the Chiefs' favor. So I will say, I thought it was a first down. Mm. Tony Romo and Jim Nance, who were calling the game on CBS, thought it was a first down. The ref or the former referee, Gene Senator, who works for CBS now, he also thought it was a first down. But I have read and discussed so much about this.
This must be like your water cooler chat, I have to say.
Yeah, this play in particular. Here's the problem. I mean, Josh Allen said it himself in the postgame presser. To be the champs, you got to beat the champs. And we didn't do that. And my biggest problem is, why were the Bills continuing to do a quarterback sneak, which is what that kind of play is called, all game when they were like notoriously the Chiefs were ready for it and it wasn't working? It worked earlier in the game, but barely, because Josh Allen like extended out and it looked like the ball could have been punched out and he could have lost it and then it would have been really bad. So that I think is my biggest problem with it is like.
So you're not focused on the referee. Well, you're focused on like.
No, I'm definitely focused on the referee. But the problem is that like you have to play such a perfect game, because when you are playing an elite team, if you make a mistake, they will take advantage of it. And that is true through all sports. That's like clear as day. Mm-hmm. I think, though, in my opinion, the ball crossed the plane. And also the play before that, when Dalton Kincaid, one of their tight ends, he like dove for it. I also thought that he got it on that play. So I don't even think it should have come down to that, but whatever. But yeah, it was.
So does that like piss you off?
I don't know if it pisses me off, because I think the problem too is that we're forgetting how angry people used to get at Tom Brady and the Patriots. People used to get
we have a society
so livid.
We have forgotten.
We have forgotten, because they were like, oh my God, the Patriots get away with everything. And it's like the Patriots used to actually know like these ticky-tacky rules and use them to their advantage. So arguably a little bit more annoying than the Chiefs sometimes. But yeah, I just think that we are in it right now, so we can't see the greater picture, but we are witnessing like one of the greatest teams of all time kind of do their thing. It's hard to admit, because you know everybody wants to build you up to then tear you down.
That's true.
When you're at the top,
everybody loves to hate you.
Everybody loves to hate the winners.
And I was guilty of this last week. I just wanted to see Josh Allen.
I think everyone was. You know, I think, yeah.
That was my first reaction. I was like, where is Josh?
Yeah.
Somebody give him a hug. Mm-hmm. I read this really sad like article from The Athletic about his presence in the locker room after the game. Mm-hmm. It almost drew a tear out of my eyes, yeah, I gotta say.
It's just overall sad, because I think everybody, because of the season he had, everyone was like, oh my God, they're going to go to the Super Bowl. And then also the Bills beat the Chiefs in the regular season this year. But, you know, when it comes time to take it to the next level, they can't seem to get there. So that's a little tough.
Yeah. I was hearing a bit about just like how, let's say, ball tracking technology.
Yes, ma'am.
I want to know your thoughts on that, because I know it exists in, let's say, tennis, so that if it goes out of bounds, they don't need to rely on, you know, the I don't know what they call them in tennis, like the
referees.
The referees of
the
tennis.
Umpire, yeah. Lines judges, I think.
Yeah. They don't need to necessarily rely solely on their eye, because obviously human error is a thing. We kind of talked about it last week. Do you know anything about that? And if it's like going to be brought to the NFL?
Okay, plot twist. There is a tracking chip in the NFL football.
Wait, what?
I know. Everybody was like shook that people were discovering that. So
we live in a surveillance state, let me tell you.
I know. But there's a lot of factors at play. So one is possession. Like, you need to have clear possession of the football. And so that's why the human aspect comes into it. That's one of the reasons why. because you have to look at the play and a robot computer can't tell you if that person has possession. That's an objective call or a subjective call. Sorry. Then also the shape of the football, not a sphere. So like think of soccer, tennis, that factors into it because you have the, no matter where that circle crosses the line or hits the line, it's equidistant from the center.
Right.
Football, not that shape. Right? I know. And then also, Sean's giving me a crazy look like I'm a mad scientist. But
yeah.
I mean,
I'm here for it.
And then also down by contact is a thing in the NFL. And so if you get pulled down by contact, you have to determine when and where that player was down. Where did his knee hit? Where does that mark go? So, you know, like it all factors into it. And also I will say, I was reading a lot of like stats about the replay reviews and how many this is overturned. When a call is made on the field, it's usually not overturned in replay unless there is clear and obvious video evidence. In that play in particular, you can't see the ball.
Yeah, like I was noticing that.
All the players are just like completely overcrowding the line of scrimmage because it's a QB sneak. So you can't clearly see the ball. And so that's why it didn't get overturned. Mm-hmm. You're just kind of guessing, oh, if he crossed here and the ball was here, then he must have crossed the plane.
Sounding like forensic almost, you know?
I know, but it's crazy because there's so much that goes into that. And I think people obviously are quick to be like, the Chiefs have the refs in their pocket, yada, yada, yada. The clear and obvious video part to me was like the groundbreaking aspect. But it's just tough.
Can I ask you to speak to the camera? Pretend that the camera is a Chiefs fan who feels still.
You mean a Bills fan?
No. Oh. Yes. Excuse me. Mm-hmm. A Bills fan who feels like the refs are in their pocket. Like what can you say to them to kind of calm them?
Because I don't know if I can.
No.
I think they would come for my neck.
That's what I mean. I just feel like there's just persistent outrage.
Yeah. And like, yeah, when you're a great team and calls go your way, there will always be people that are mad. But I do think like it should have never come down to that play because I thought Dalton Kincaid got it on the previous play. And I also think the Bills should not have been doing a quarterback
so predictable
because they are not. They are not the Eagles. The Eagles have perfected the tush push. Let the Eagles do that. If you're not good at it, do it a different way.
Yeah.
I don't know. It was tough. It was a really tough circumstances. You know?
A tale of two evils, perhaps.
Great, great analogy.
Poetic, what can I say?
You really are.
We're going to talk more about this game later on, but we just had to kind of address it. Yes, of course, right at the top. Mm-hmm. So moving on to our next Playing the Field story, how about some positivity in sports?
Please.
For American slang on our behalf. So the Australian Open concluded this weekend, and it was none other than American Madison Keys who took home the hardware as she took down two-time reigning champion Aryna Sabalenka. This was Keys' first Grand Slam victory.
Uh-huh.
Oh, my goodness. It was amazing.
It was incredible. After the match, I don't know if you saw this, but Sabalenka gave the like classic runner-up speech, and she was hilarious.
I mean, should I say anything to my team? Why are you laughing? As always, that's your fault, guys. I don't want to see you for the next week. I really hate you. No, anyway, thank you so much for everything you're doing for me and blah, blah, blah. No, I think we did our best. Just Madison was playing incredible. I couldn't do anything in this match. And next time I play against Madison, I'll bring a better tennis.
Everyone was laughing like she was a riot.
It was also all in good jest, y'all. It wasn't like she was salty about losing. I also watched Madison Keys, like, I don't know, I guess congratulatory speech, whatever. Mm-hmm. And it was so beautiful. She acknowledged that Sabalenka is a tough cookie to play.
Oh, yeah.
She also acknowledged her husband, who is also her coach, which I don't think that could ever be me, personally.
Couldn't be me.
I'd be too nervous.
No, I would just straight up end up getting a divorce. I would, yeah, it wouldn't be good.
because you and Scott would be fighting, or like,
no, we make a great team. I just think I turn into a different person when I am competing.
Okay.
And it's not always pretty.
Yeah.
So like, I just shouldn't be around someone that I love so dearly in that mindset, you know, like it's just.
So none of your sisters could coach you either.
My oldest sister, because she rode in the Olympics, would give me pointers here and there. But I think she was just very strategic of how she did it.
Okay.
So.
But not a coach. She's just there to give moral support.
Yeah.
Okay. But did you also see that? So she was like very heartfelt in her thank you to him mm-hmm. and her team, of course. There were tears shed. Even I was literally crying when I was watching this thank you. But she also credited her win to like talk therapy,
mm-hmm.
not sports therapy. Which, what is the difference? Do you know?
I think it's more so you just like focus on the actual like sport like game, during, sport during your therapy versus like talk therapy. I think it's just a little bit more generalized.
Yeah. It was really beautiful. And yeah. I think a good lesson. So basically what she was saying was like, you know, for years, she's been playing tennis professionally since she was a teenager. Mm-hmm. She's 29 now. And she's just never got that title, like a Grand Slam title. And she, I think, for a long time was sort of down on herself for that fact. She's like, how could I ever be a great tennis player if I never get that title?
Yeah.
And I feel like that's so relatable. It doesn't even have to do with tennis. Like, that could go for literally anybody listening about your job, depending on how you feel about work and, like, the value, your self-worth that you put into mm-hmm. your accomplishments. And she was like, thanks to therapy, I kind of just detached my self-worth from what I did as a tennis player. And it's like, I accepted the fact that even if I don't get a Grand Slam title, that doesn't mean that I did a bad job playing tennis. Like, obviously, she's still one of the GOATs.
Totally.
And that kind of, like, getting rid of that mental block and that self, like, putting pressure on yourself allowed her to get to that title.
I couldn't relate to that more because my senior year of college, I was like, you know what? You have to care less because if you keep driving yourself crazy, you're going to be really mad that you didn't enjoy your senior year of college.
Aww.
And so I took the pressure off and then I freaking became an All-American. So
you slayed.
I slayed like our girl Madison. But I did like that. Now she moves up to number 7 overall world ranking, and that matches her career high from 2016. So go girl. Love it.
I will say, I was curious because about the idea of taking pressure off yourself mm-hmm. and like, do you think, how does that pair up with the idea of like competition or competitiveness?
It's easier said than done, obviously. But I think that it's more so the aspect of I'm going to compete to like my best ability, mm-hmm. but I'm not going to have the mindset and the outlook of, oh, I am worthless mm-hmm. if I don't win mm-hmm. this match or mm-hmm. if I don't get a Grand Slam in my entire career. Like, she's still a professional tennis player.
Right. She's so competitive.
She's still accomplished so much. It's more so just like, okay, I'm not going to put the weight of the world on this.
Mm-hmm.
So go her.
Yeah. I'm glad she, story.
Yeah. I'm glad she figured that out. And honestly, probably could use that advice myself.
Probably could use some therapy. Next story, please. So meanwhile, in the world of women's sports, U.S. women's national team defender Naomi Girma set a huge milestone this week after English club Chelsea paid a record transfer fee to get her on the team.
The concept of a transfer fee may be a little foreign to American sports fans, but it's commonplace in professional soccer. Essentially, one team pays another for the right to acquire a player, but this one is special because it's the first time a women's team has paid over $1 million just to get someone on their roster. Girma transfers from the NWSL team San Diego Wave, who made her the first overall pick in the 2022 draft. Chelsea paid £900,000, which is about $1.12 million.
Yeah, this story is pretty wild, too, because I think this is just a transfer fee, we should say. So,
yeah.
Like, emphasize.
So it's not like her salary.
She's not getting paid $1.1 million.
But that's how much they view her like, worth, essentially. Yes.
And I think it's going to be good for women's soccer mm-hmm. because, I mean, at least for the NWSL, I hope that this makes them a little more competitive because they got to find reasons to keep their players.
Yeah. And I kind of love that it happened in women's soccer where like Alex Morgan had fought for and the rest of the women's national team mm-hmm. had fought for equal pay for mm-hmm. so long. And it's just, I just think it shows the level in which women's sports is heading.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Also, did you know that, I think I was reading this about her on Twitter, that she grew up in San Jose, in like a very tight knit Ethiopian community. Mm. And when her parents got like too busy with work as she was growing up, like neighbors would just come and drive her to soccer practice.
Aww.
And not because they thought that she was going to be this like incredible soccer right. player, just because she loved to play soccer.
I love that.
Isn't that cute?
It takes a village. It does take a village.
Love it.
So congrats to Naomi.
Yeah.
Hopefully this keeps things competitive in women's soccer.
Couldn't agree more. All right, continuing with more women's sports on Playing the Field. Love to see it. We have a story coming out of college basketball. Number 2 ranked South Carolina took down number 7 LSU at home on Friday. After the game, the DJ for the game, who goes by the name T.O., played the song Cut Friends to celebrate the victory. Now she's being suspended by the athletic department for 1 game.
The reason for the suspension? That is because the song is by rapper Camouflage, who is the late father of LSU star Flajay Johnson. So to clarify, as Johnson was leaving the court after she literally just lost, the South Carolina Arena played a song by her late father, and he was actually gunned down months before she was even born. So just like reading a bit insensitive for sure. Mm-hmm. And after the game, Johnson took to Twitter and she wrote, "I'll take my L on the chin, but this is just nasty behavior. Nothing funny about that."
The DJ initially responded with "my bad" and a laughing emoji.
Somebody was not media trained.
Mm-mm.
I think it was the DJ for South Carolina.
I think it might have been. later, she issued a full apology, as did the South Carolina Athletic Department. Do you think that the 1-game suspension is enough to make this right?
I mean, 1 game only? I don't know. It kind of sucks because you put faith into the DJ to like bring up the vibes and stuff. But that's just like an immediate mood kill. And I know that we've talked about like tasteful trolling.
Yeah. College football, like the video boards, Jumbotrons do that all the time. Lots of tasteful trolling.
Yeah. But I don't know. I think we've seen this again on the show. I remember we talked about Joel Embiid and bringing just like family into the equation. Family that's no longer with us, just like sensitive family topics, I just feel like it's never a good look or mm-hmm. move. I don't know if 1 game suspension is enough. And I think maybe also we could just maybe give another DJ a chance.
Yeah,
perhaps.
I don't know. But also, I'm just going to say the "my bad" with the laughing emoji is giving the same vibe as "no offense,
but
yes. I'm going to say the most offensive thing that I could possibly think of about you. And I said no offense, so
I'm good.
So all good.
We're good. No responsibility here."
Yeah.
That is such a good analogy.
Thank you so much.
What do you think? Do you think this is enough suspension?
No, but also like I think like the damage is already done, you know, yeah. So it's like, how do you can't really make it right. But yes, you could definitely do more to do a better job of this. Yeah. Insincere. It definitely crossed the line. And like, you knew what you were doing.
Yeah.
Just
yeah.
Too far.
Mm-hmm.
Don't do too much.
This is not tasteful trolling, ladies mm-hmm. and gents.
No,
don't do it.
Not great. Mm-mm.
Finally, we conclude this Playing the Field segment with a big trade in the WNBA. The mm-hmm. Seattle Storm, Las Vegas Aces, and the Los Angeles Sparks completed a trade that's going to send Jewel Lloyd to the Aces and Kelsey Plum to the Sparks.
The trade also includes major draft compensation. According to Shams Charania, quote, "The Storm are acquiring the number 2 pick in the 2025 WNBA draft and Lee Yururu from the Sparks in this 3-team trade, with the Sparks getting number 9 from Seattle and the Aces receiving number 13 from LA."
This is a pretty cool trade. I feel like everyone's kind of happy right now.
I don't know enough about the WNBA. I do know who the two ladies are, but I was like, when is the last time that something like this in the WNBA happened, where like the big names yeah. like this, and everyone seems very pleased about the outcome?
Yeah. I mean, they're both like U.S. national team mm-hmm. players. They won gold in Paris. I'm a bit familiar with the W myself.
The W.
A bit. Mm-hmm. I think that, you know, it's kind of crazy. So I think Jewel Lloyd is the person, background here. The Storm filed, or players on the Storm mm-hmm. started an investigation about like player mistreatment, basically. And mm-hmm. I think Jewel Lloyd was the one who started this. So I think she wanted out. So I think okay. this is good for her. She gets what she wants.
Okay.
And she gets to go to the Aces. For Kelsey Plum, I think it's good because she gets to go to the Sparks. And on the Aces, she was playing with Aja Wilson, MVP last year. Mm-hmm. So I feel like she couldn't always be the star of the show because Aja is obviously the GOAT. Mm-hmm. You know, so I think her going to the Sparks is a good thing because maybe she'll be able to carve out that sort of star power even more.
So who do you think is the winner?
I trade. Think they're all kind of winning.
Okay.
I think Sparks fans might be a little aggy about this, though, because people are saying that Kelsey Plum going there, like, they're like, this is just a 1-year rental. We don't know how long she's even going to stay. Mm. But Cameron Brink's there. She yeah. was the number 2 pick draft pick last year.
My girl crush.
I know D'Erica Hamby is out there. I think like Kelsey Plum's in a good spot to, like I said, kind of carve out her own star power and also just make the squad a little stronger.
Yeah.
But number two pick is a big deal.
Yeah, it is.
In a draft. So I think some fans are a little salty. They're like, I don't really know if we should have done that.
Okay, interesting. Good.
But I don't know. Kelsey Plum's a good player, so.
Yeah. We'll see how it plays out on the court.
Yeah. But also we know that the real winner here is the WNBA because we're here talking about it, so.
Exactamundo.
Yeah.
Which we love. All right, we continue this episode of Well Played as we do every week with our roundup of all the NFL action you need to be talking about. It's time for Tuesday Morning Quarterback.
I like it when you sing that. We got to keep getting you to do that.
I like tried to half stop myself, but like I really couldn't. I couldn't get fully away from it.
I'm glad you didn't. Never change. Never change. So like we said, two crazy games happened last Sunday, guys. Mm-hmm. Kind of wild. So can we start by breaking down one by one with three of the biggest takeaways that you have, Caroline, or we both have? Let's start with Chiefs and Bills.
Yes, let's start with the good. And that's the fact that we might be watching history unfold with Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid in Kansas City. That's because the Chiefs now have a chance to become the first team in NFL history to three-peat in the Super Bowl. That's right. No NFL team has ever won three Super Bowls in a row. Mahomes would join the likes of players like Michael Jordan with the Bulls, Shaq and Kobe with the Lakers, and Derek Jeter with the Yankees.
Mahomes also set a huge milestone with his 17th postseason win.
Mm-hmm.
That puts him one ahead of Joe Montana, giving him the second most playoff victories for any QB in league history, behind only Tom Brady, who has 35.
Crazy.
Wow, we are entering Tom Brady territory. Mm-hmm. So how big would this Super Bowl be for Mahomes, do you think? And does this start to put him, like I said, into Tom Brady territory?
Yeah, I saw a really good stat that was like through seven seasons and they compared Brady and Mahomes and like their playoff record, how many Super Bowls they went to, and maybe like AFC titles. And the numbers, Mahomes has him either beaten or tied in every one of those categories. And it's like, I understand that people want to pump the brakes a little bit. But if you're looking at the numbers, you have to kind of start that dialogue because he is so good. And like, I know people love to hate the winner, but you can't deny that he is unbelievably talented because they find a way to win and he makes it happen as the quarterback a lot of the times, even when he's not having a great game. So, yeah, it's going to be a really important Super Bowl, I think, for Mahomes. Wow. Not that it will, like, diminish him if he loses, but...
Right. But if he wins it...
Makes history.
Are we going to stop talking about Tom Brady then and just only talk about Patrick Mahomes because... Three-peat?
I don't think quite yet because Tom Brady just has an absurd amount of Super Bowl rings. But I do think then that the conversation is a lot more open than people have been willing to be about it.
That's pretty cool. Good for the kid.
Good for the kid.
The kid who's also a dad of three.
Yeah, exactly. Takeaway number two from this game. Josh Allen played a good game with 237 passing yards and a pair of touchdowns. But this loss marks the fourth time Allen has lost to Mahomes in the postseason. That's the first time in league history a quarterback has lost to the same opposing quarterback without getting a single win. Yeah.
I need someone to check
in
on
the
him.
Postseason.
I know that. Mm-hmm. I need someone to check in on him because this would drive me fucking up a wall.
Did you see the postgame presser? Because he, my poor
was
guy.
Was he dazed over? Like, was he glazed
down
over?
Down bad.
Really?
Yeah, it was really sad. It
wasn't the golden retriever.
No,
like
I mean,
see.
It like was, but it was like a sad golden retriever, you know? Yeah. It was not... It was very sad. I hate when people are sad.
Also, sorry, extreme side note. I just noticed I dropped an F-bomb, and last week my dad yelled at me for cursing too much on the show. And I was like, where do you think I get it from? He swears probably every other word that comes out of his mouth.
No, but not him. You don't get it from him.
What do you mean?
I'm kidding.
I was like, you gotta believe me, Caroline. What do you mean?
Like, stop gaslighting, Caroline.
So I just want to apologize. I'm really trying to curtail.
Okay.
The F-bombs.
Proud of you.
Caught myself there. Not, but too late. Anyway, so finally, another positive takeaway. The Chiefs finally scored more than 30 points in a game for the first time all season. What did you see from this team that was actually working this time? Why were they able to do that?
I just think, first of all, their defense played out of their minds. Like, their defensive coordinator, Steve Spagnuolo, I can never pronounce his last name correctly. He just was ready to go. Like, he game planned like nobody's business. And I think that's the tough part because, like, the Bills beat them in the regular season, so they're like, okay, we got him. Mm. But it's like, no, he was preparing. So I am interested to see like what the actual game plan is for the Eagles, because obviously Saquon, very hard man to contain. He's very speedy. So it'll be interesting. It's just going to be like, Sean was really mean to me in our group chat over the weekend when you were like, so who are you guys rooting for? And I was like, I just want it to be a good game.
You were taking notes from my playbook
and
with that one.
And he said, get a spine. And I said, that is so mean. I just want both teams to have fun. No, I really just feel like I want the Super Bowl to be very close, but in a way that it's like it doesn't get decided by some ticky-tacky thing that everyone gets hung up on. Yeah. It gets decided because of an incredible play.
Yeah.
Like I want an OBJ over the head. Oops, sorry, lamp. OBJ over the head, one-armed catch, touchdown that like wins the game. Like I want the drama, the theatrics.
I do too.
Yeah.
I want to be like,
and I feel like this matchup could give it to us.
Yeah, I would like some heart palpitations. I would like some sweaty palms.
Mm, okay, I love that.
I would like standing and yelling.
Mm.
That's what I would like.
Okay.
But I also do, unlike you, have a spine and I know who I want to win.
And who's that?
Should I say it now or should I say it next week?
Okay, say it
next week.
Save it. Okay. Okay.
So let's talk about the other game from Sunday. Yes. So the Eagles took down the Cinderella Commanders to advance to their second Super Bowl in 3 years.
RIP Commanders.
Yeah. And a rematch from 2023. So let's share top three takeaways from the game.
Yes, ma'am. How about our sweet baby boy, Saquon Barkley, and the entire rushing attack for the Eagles, honestly, who had, wait for it, 7 total rushing touchdowns in the game. To draw a comparison, their division rival, the Cowboys, had 6 total rushing touchdowns all season.
Wow.
Yeah. Saquon amassed 3 himself, including a 60-yarder on the first offensive play of the game for the Eagles. Jalen Hurts had 3 rushing touchdowns. So it was kind of insane.
Okay, so clearly offense playing out of their mind.
Mm-hmm.
Is this the key to their Super Bowl strategy?
I mean, obviously Saquon is like their golden child, because he is so good at what he does. But also, like, I think, for example, someone who I forget, I think I was listening to, maybe it was like Pardon My Take, but I was listening to them and they were pointing out like Dallas Goedert, who is one of the Eagles tight ends, like he was really crucial in a lot of different plays that it was like not necessarily catching the ball all the time, but like blocking and stuff like that. So I just think their game plan has to be very well thought out, particularly against the Chiefs defense, because they are like Chris Jones leading the way. He is an incredible player. And so it's just going to be, I think it's going to be a really even game, which I'm excited about, because it's like 2 dominant offenses and 2 really good defenses.
Interesting. Okay. We'll be looking out for that. Our next takeaway from the Eagles broadcast, can we talk about when Tom Brady acknowledged the elephant in the room?
Yes.
So let's listen to this clip of him talking about former Eagles quarterback Nick Foles, who is in attendance as an honorary captain for the game.
Took care of the 49ers. Nick Foles in the building. Super Bowl MVP. And led to that Super Bowl win. Who did he play that game? Do you know he played that game? I love you.
Nick, I don't hate you. I'm just jealous of you.
So he obviously paused. A lot of people on the interwebs were considering him pausing like strategically, if I might add, because Nick Foles has a nickname about a certain body part of his that...
You can say it. Be brave.
No, I don't want
to. I can say it.
Yeah, you can say it. I don't like it.
Apparently, his nickname is Big Dick Nick.
I don't like it.
Why do I always have to be the vulgar one in between the two of us? Did you notice that?
No.
It's my constant F-bombs. It's my willing to go the extra mile.
But that's what makes you so special.
Okay.
And I love you for it.
Anyway, can you tell...
So he was like, I'm jealous of you. And like, I don't know, and some people think that he took that little pause on purpose and then he was like, because you caught the ball and I didn't. And also, like, obviously the Eagles beat the Patriots in their Super Bowl matchup when Tom Brady was quarterback. The Philly special, which was the play design where Nick Foles caught the touchdown, was like the like most praised thing ever. I think they also built a statue of Nick Foles outside the stadium or
That's
like
incredible.
In Philly, I'm pretty sure, after that play. But yeah, so... It was just funny, I think.
Yeah.
I do love Tom Brady showing more of his personality because it's kind of like the Michael Jordan documentary where they were like, and I took that personally. And it's like Tom Brady being like, I don't hate you. I'm just so jealous of you. And yeah. You're like, no, he means that.
I wonder what our listeners think. Do we think that he is jealous because he's not packing like Big Dick Nick? Or because he didn't get the game like Big Dick Nick. Also, I'm hung up on the Philly special. All I can see is like a hoagie in my brain.
Yeah, I know. Me too. I always
or
think
sub.
Of.
I don't know where you're from, listener, or what you call it, a Big sandwich.
Debate. Yeah.
But also, it does remind me, like you're saying, it's like it's becoming personal. It kind of reminds me of like when you friend your teacher on Facebook after you graduate high school.
Yeah.
And you like see another side of them.
Yeah.
That's what this is feeling like.
And
to
you
me.
Remember that they're humans. It's crazy. Okay, last one from this game. And don't worry, we'll be doing a full Super Bowl preview next week. So, like, don't even sweat it. We're going to get in depth next mm-hmm. week. But this Eagles performance was special for a few reasons. One of them, Bradley Cooper was at the game. But the Eagles also set a record for the most points in an NFC championship game with 55.
Wow.
I like looked down for a second, looked back up, and I was like, oh my God, 55 is crazy. And get this, Jalen Hurts is the first quarterback to return to the Super Bowl after losing one since John Elway. He did it back in 1998, almost 30 years ago.
Whoa.
Do we think Hurts can get his team over the hump the way Elway did?
I'm sorry. You said 1998 was almost 30 years ago. Girl, I'm 26. Please don't scare me like that.
I'm sorry.
I was
but
born
it was,
in 1998.
It was almost. You're closer to 30 than you are to 20.
If you look at the video footage of me watching, listening to Caroline reading that, you will see me visibly wince.
I hate to break it
I'm
to you.
I'm sorry.
I hate to break it to you.
It's nothing, there's nothing wrong with being 30, by the way. I'm like very excited for my 30s.
Are
it's
you?
Just like,
you don't sound it.
No, I really am. You got to believe me.
Okay.
My brother turned 40 last week and I was so happy for him.
also, I'm older than you. So
right.
Don't even
no,
start.
Again,
don't start that.
Again, I was just aware of how fast time passes.
Okay.
Do we think Hurts can get his team over the hump the way Elway did? I can't say too much about this because I don't want to give away.
Who you're rooting for?
Yeah.
We all know it's Jalen Hurts because you think he's cute.
No.
Oh,
no.
Okay.
Can I, you can comment on this if you'd like, but I would like to keep my thoughts to myself for the moment.
No, we're going to save it for the Super Bowl.
Okay, fine.
Top preview next week. But I just think, once again, similar to the Bills, if you want to be the champs, you got to beat the champs. So got to play at a very high level. Mm-hmm. So it's going to hopefully be a very good game.
Okay, great. We started this episode by saying Jets have a new coach, but mm-hmm. other teams also have new head coaches. Not enough time to cover them all, so we're going to kind of speed through them. I would love to get your thoughts on each of the new coaches who were hired this week.
Okay.
Can you do that?
Yeah.
All right, let's start with yours, New York Jets, Aaron Glenn.
Oh my God, I'm obsessed with him. Met him yesterday. He's very, like, what you see is what you get. He's so authentic. He's so genuine. I just think he was built for this. I don't think I've ever heard a bad thing about him. I want to play football for him. And I don't think I would do very well on the football field. But I want to try.
I think
for
with
him.
Sufficient padding, you could be a star.
Like bubble wrap.
Right. Okay. Chicago Bears, Ben Johnson.
I think everybody knew that Ben Johnson wanted to go to the Bears because he had kind of talked very highly of their quarterback, Caleb Williams. I know he started and ended his interview with, I want this job. By the way, I want this job. Like, he was very passionate about that. So I think it's a good hire. He was obviously very successful with the Lions. So we'll see if he can bring that to Chicago.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Las Vegas Raiders, Pete Carroll.
Okay. So, Sweet Carl, my father, he wanted someone younger because Pete Carroll at 73 is now the oldest coach in the NFL.
Oh.
But I just think that maybe this is like exactly what the Raiders need because the Raiders have had younger coaches and still haven't been successful. And there's got to be a method to the madness because you have to remember Brady has been part of this process.
True.
So I just think that this could be the missing piece for the Raiders, and maybe they will be a different team next year.
Okay, so it sounds
at
like you're saying
my father hopes. So.
I was gonna say it sounds like you're saying to your dad, trust the process.
Yeah, trust the process. Give him a chance. You
okay.
know.
Yeah. Dallas Cowboys, Brian Schottenheimer.
This one was a head scratcher, I have to say. Twitter was absolutely ripping the Cowboys apart as they love to do, because. You know, they fired their head coach, Mike McCarthy, and then they promoted essentially the offensive coordinator mm-hmm. to a head coach, even though the offense has not been good in particular.
Right.
So it's interesting. I do think that his press conference the other day, he had the right messaging and everything. So we'll see if this works. But I don't know. That one was interesting. Very confusing.
Okay, the last one. Jacksonville Jaguars, Liam Cohen.
But not more confusing than this one, because there was a lot of drama. So I'm going to give you a little bit of the backstory very succinctly.
Okay.
You have to get permission from your team to interview once you're a coordinator. Once the season ends, interview with other teams. Everyone is usually like A-okay with it. So he got permission. He interviewed with the Jacksonville Jaguars. And then Tampa Bay was like, you know what? We want you back. Like, we're going to pay you the most money that an offensive coordinator has ever made. And so he was like, okay, I'm going to withdraw my name and I'm going to verbally agree to an extension mm-hmm. with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. However, the next day, he never showed up to sign his contract. And so the Bucs couldn't reach him. Called his agent, couldn't reach him.
Oh my
Called
God.
Him, couldn't reach him. Uh-huh. And after an in-person meeting with the Jaguars, Cohen accepted their offer to become the next head coach. So there was a lot of drama there.
That's so wild.
But yeah. And I do have to say, like, he was going to get paid like $4 to $5 million as an offensive coordinator. He's probably going to get paid closer to like $12 million as a head coach. So I don't know.
The promotion, bag is bigger there.
Plus
yes.
bag. I kind of, if it was any other situation, I don't think people would be as mad, but people are saying like the loyalty is messed up.
Okay. I have to say, when I was hearing the story, it did remind me of a time when my own loyalty was a bit messed up.
What
can I tell you about it?
Please.
When I was in 9th grade, I got asked the semi-formal by none other than a boy named Noah.
Okay.
How did he ask me, you might ask? Was it a big gesture in front of the whole school? Did he plan a flash mob? He did not. He asked me on a neon green post-it note that said, Sammy. And then after he handed it to me, mm-hmm. I was like, oh God, okay. I feel like I have to say yes, mm-hmm. naturally. So I say yes. And then he kind of just stood there like, where my hug at? He was being a where my hug at guy. And so I was very uncomfortable with the idea of going with him because he's kind of punk.
And this was a surprise. Like, you didn't have any.
Oh, yeah. Like, we barely knew each other.
Oh, that's tough. That's tough.
He wasn't, like, friends with me. Maybe he, like, sat at my lunch table, but we barely spoke when he sat at my lunch table.
But you had no, like, whisperings like, oh, so-and-so wants to ask you.
No.
Okay.
I wasn't that cool. I wish.
Okay.
And so, yeah, he was always a punk, always a bad, like, being bad in class. I was a very good child in class. I know it might be hard for you to believe. And so that happened. And then like a week later, this kid in my English class, Jared, he like somehow finagled. Literally, we got called down to the guidance counselor's office. And I was like, what the fuck did I do? What did he do? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then in privacy, not in he's like, Blake, I just think you're a beautiful girl. And like, I would really love to take you to semi-formal.
Oh, that's
and
cute.
It was really cute. He was obviously way more mature about it. Didn't stand there like, where my hug at? He was mm-hmm. very respectful, very demure, I might say. And so I forgot even Noah's existence.
Yeah, you were just.
I forgot about the post-it. I said, yes, Jared, I'll go to semi-formal with you.
Only have eyes for Jared.
And then I only have eyes for Jared. He was also a bit odd. He was a theater kid.
That's okay.
But better than my alternative.
Love theater kids.
So I had to text Noah that night and say, I can no longer go to the semi-formal with you.
You texted him?
I think I did. I didn't even do it face-to-face.
Tough.
I was too.
Tough.
Yeah. You ever do something like that?
No.
Because you're better than me. That's why.
That's
next story.
Absolutely not true.
Okay. Before we move on to send it, guys, I know this is a long run time, but we have to mention Martha and Charlie XCX. Martha being Martha Stewart,
yeah,
the queen.
The Martha.
Yes.
Make sure you tune back in next week for our Super Bowl preview where we'll be talking about the halftime show, the game, and of course the commercials. But before that, can we talk about the teaser that dropped for Martha Stewart's latest Super Bowl ad?
It's kind of crazy. I feel like she's always in ads.
I love her.
But in the ad, she throws a little shade at Charlie XCX.
We listen and we don't judge. Honestly, Charlie, when my agent first sent me your name, I thought it was the Wi-Fi password.
It was a rendition of the TikTok trend, We Listen and We Don't Judge.
Yeah.
And so they both sat there and said very judgmental things about each other. So Martha was literally like, who are you again?
Love.
This one's for Uber Eats, but Martha's become, like I said, one of like the go-to Super Bowl celebs. And I think like the fact that Charlie XCX is in a Super Bowl ad, I think they're trying to, you know, capture a brattier cohort of the population.
Yeah.
I think I fall into that.
For sure.
Yeah.
I will say Martha has become one of my new favorites.
Yes.
I watched her documentary.
Same.
Bad ass.
Yeah.
She's like the OG influencer.
She is.
And people are going to say you're crazy, but like, no, she created an entire brand about herself. Mm-hmm. And it's still successful to this day.
Yeah.
And she's kind of just savage.
She went to prison for 5 months.
Whatever.
In the early 2000s, I remember being a kid and hearing about this and thinking it was like the scandal of the century.
And that she was like a horrible person.
Yeah. But then I was like, oh, wait, it was only 5 months. I thought she was literally like in there for a while.
Yeah.
And
it was like kind of like cushy.
Probably. Yeah, totally. And she, you know, made friends, forged friendships.
Into it.
Yeah.
Into her like coming back around. I know. It's time to close out the episode with a round of Send It. As always, Send It features four of our favorite viral moments from the week that you should be sending to your group chat. Blake, that was for you.
Thank you. I'll let you
go first.
Okay, let's talk about not a person.
Oh, yeah.
Not even an animal.
Arch enemy number one. Arch nemesis. Arch rival. Yeah, I don't know where I was going
with that. This story really gets Caroline riled up, guys.
I just don't.
Okay. Let's talk about the Empire State Building, which lit up with Eagle colors immediately after they won their game. Why do you have problems with...
And then they lit up for the Kansas City Chiefs
colors. I know. It's like,
You're doing too much.
Pick your battles.
You're doing too much.
Yeah.
First of all, I don't know. Have you ever heard of your own name? You're the New York Empire State Building. You're in the city of New York. You're a New York icon. You're on literally every keychain, t-shirt, mug, whatever about New York. Where is your loyalty?
I know. I think the Chiefs one feels less like a sting to me because I'm like, Chiefs.
They're
all the way out there in the Midwest. But yeah. Philly, come on.
It's just not
right. It's a little
right.
too close to home.
No.
Yeah.
And like, not that I am a Giants fan, but the Giants and the Eagles are like division enemies. Mm. And so like, that's got to piss a lot of New Yorkers off.
Have you ever considered that maybe they were lighting up for the color of the Jets? It was a generic green and white. We don't know.
No, because I'm pretty sure their Instagram said like in honor of the Eagles win. So like, okay.
All right. I tried.
Yeah. Public enemy number one, the Empire State Building. All right. Next up, I loved this moment from the Nets game in Brooklyn against the Heat on Saturday. During the game, D'Angelo Russell hits back-to-back threes and Nets co-owner Clara Wu Tsai hits the ice in my veins. What, like on the court side, in her courtside seats. And then like D'Angelo Russell literally sees that and like points to her. I was like, that is a sick interaction overall. Also like her going ice in my veins.
I know. Like, it's like, how do you know that?
You're so cool.
You're tapped in. She was tapped in.
Yeah, she's got it.
Speaking of the Nets and the Heat, I am going to that game. They're going to play each other again in like 2 weeks on February 7th.
Oh,
I'm very bummed because Jimmy Butler has been suspended indefinitely. I was partially going to see him.
I know you did
after watching Starting Five. Come on.
I know.
Drama.
Always, you know? Yeah. Never a shortage of drama ma in the NBA.
Drama ma. Okay, my turn to nominate the next Send It. So we have to give it up for the Best Dressed Award for the week to Bills wide receiver Matt Collins. He showed up to the game dressed as Animal from the Muppets.
It was interesting.
Can you describe
a
bit?
I want everyone to understand that Matt Collins has walked to every game this year barefoot. I don't really know why, honestly. I don't actually think I've read why he chooses to do this. But mind you, it's in Buffalo. Mm. Like, I don't know how he has circulation. But anyways, he was wearing like a mascot head, crop top, and no shoes, obviously. Very interesting. But hey, I do have to say, his touchdown catch, if that's what makes him play like that, wear whatever you want, buddy.
Well,
insane.
Touchdown aside, men in crop tops, yay or nay?
I'm going to say nay. And here's why. It all goes back to my trauma from OSU. Because Ezekiel Elliott, who obviously used to play for the Ohio State Buckeyes, used to wear a crop top. He still does for the Cowboys. But that was like his thing in college. And so I am nay because of him. So sorry, but he ruined it for all of you.
Okay.
In my opinion.
I'm yay, I gotta say.
Oh, interesting. Why?
I just think it's a little girly pop. I don't know. It's kind of cute.
Okay.
I like a little midriff.
Do you care if the midriff is chiseled or unchiseled? Like, does that factor into the crop top?
You know, I will say I love all body types. I'm a lover of anybody.
She's a lover,
anybody.
Not a fighter.
Yeah. So do what you want. However, is there a preference? Sure. I do prefer a more chiseled body in a crop top.
You know who I love in a crop top? Pregnant women. I think when you just have the bump out, I'm like, yes,
it's respect. It's so bad girl Riri.
I love it. Mm.
Also, really quick.
Won't be me, but yeah.
Deep cut that I was listening to before this episode was Hatin' on the Club by Rihanna. I listened to that song in, I want to say, fourth grade. It's not even on Spotify. Go on YouTube, look it up. It's a great bop.
She did. She did play it for me on YouTube.
Yes. Okay, last send it.
Okay, so have you seen the photos of NBA star Victor Wembanyama next to WNBA star Cameron Brink?
I did see that. They're like a foot apart or something?
So, yeah. I mean, he is egregiously tall. He's over 7 feet tall. She is also very tall. But, like, the height difference still was drastic, which is crazy because she's well over, like, 6'2". Mm-hmm. I was going to originally do this one.
Right.
However, last night, Timothée Chalamet was at the Knicks game.
I was there, too.
Okay. Way to bury the lead.
No, literally. Wait, before you continue.
Okay.
When they showed Timothy on the on the Jumbotron, as they do with all celebs at Knicks games, I had gone to the bathroom, and then I returned to my seat, and Sean was like, I went with producer Sean. He was like, you just missed Timothy. He was just on the Jumbotron. I would have screamed.
You're like the person, like, you have the luck of the person who goes to the bathroom, and the food comes to the table.
Yes, yes.
But we kind of need those people for that event to happen, so actually, thank you.
Okay.
Sorry that
continue.
You had to
continue. I didn't mean to cut you off.
It's okay. So Timothée and Karl Anthony Towns signed a jersey for him and gave it to him afterwards. And the picture of them postgame, I don't know what vibe it's giving. It's crazy. It's just like Karl Anthony Towns is so large and Timothée is very tiny.
Yeah.
And it just looks like Timothée is a little, like his hair looks a little disheveled. He just looks a little off.
He was looking a little like a art boy.
I mean, he is an art boy.
Yeah.
That's his specialty, but he loves the arts and the sports.
He loves the Knicks. He was actually like one of the only celebs that stayed put the entire game. Like, he didn't even go to the lounge during halftime. Ooh. He stayed put for the Lunar New Year celebration show.
True fan.
Yeah. And I think he was like, I'm speculating here. No, I posted a picture of all the celebs on the bench and I was like, can you name all these boys? And everyone was like, I can name everybody except for that guy next to Timothy. I swear to God, I think he went to like the game with his high school friend because nobody knew who he was. And I was like, that's so cool.
I love that. Maybe it was like his agent. Maybe, I don't know.
True. I'm just like, yeah, no, he's from New York. He's staying in touch with his roots. I'm a Timothée Chalamet apologist.
Okay. So what's your send it for the week?
Probably Matt Collins in his little crop top.
Okay. Yeah. You are a big crop top lover. I think I have to go with Clara.
Ice in the veins.
Ice in the veins because
that was just badass.
She's so cool. Mm-hmm. I don't think I would be like ice in the veins. You know, I don't think I'm that cool to think of that first reaction.
Yeah. That was cool of her.
But I don't know. When you're a co-owner of a team, I guess like you just.
I want to see that on the Liberty sidelines because she is a owner of the Liberty.
She is as well. Yeah. All right, well, that's it for this episode of Well Played, presented by The Skim. Thank you, as always, for listening.
Yes, please. We will be back in the studio next Tuesday with another episode of Well Played when we'll preview the Super Bowl. Boop, boop, boop. Make sure you're subscribed to the show wherever you're listening.
Yes. Blake, would you like to tell people or would you like me to tell people?
I want you to do it.
Okay. You can follow Blake on Instagram @ B-L. Four A's.
No.
Fuck. Okay, let me restart. You can follow Blake on Instagram @BL3A's4K's E.
Yes, please. And you can follow Caroline @CGHendy. That's her handle.
It's easier.
Mm-hmm. Please leave us a rating and review wherever you're listening and check out the Well Played YouTube channel where you can check out full-length videos of us sitting here. We both got our little boots on. Just search Well Played by The Skim on YouTube and you'll see us.
Until next time, thanks for listening to Well Played,
the only podcast in a league of its own.